Chapter 17. The Creation Presentation. The next day at lunch, when the two girls arrived at the library with their creation books in hand, Verity was elated to see that Peter and Thomas were deep in conversation at another table. She felt like tiptoeing so they wouldn't be disturbed. But just as she and Purity were about to start work on a poster, Hank Heyman came in. Unfortunately, he noticed both girls right away. His eyes narrowed as he coarsely called out, "Hey, Reverend Verity, are you as pure as purity?" When Verity didn't answer, he tried again. "Is anyone here as pure as purity?" Seeing Thomas stand up, Hank laughed loudly. "Hey, what about you, Thomas? Are you that pure?" Purity's face was a bright pink. Why couldn't her parents have given her a nice, normal name, like Sarah? "Not me," said Thomas harshly. "I'm not that pure." They both laughed rudely and walked out of the library, leaving behind two rather embarrassed girls. If Purity had feared talking to Thomas before, it would be twice as hard now. With a sigh, Peter rose from his seat and walked over to their table. "Well, that wasn't a very nice scene," he said regretfully. "And Thomas and I were actually having a decent conversation before horrible Hank arrived." Seeing the books Mr. Simons had lent them lying on the table, Peter picked up the bigger one eagerly. "In the Minds of Men," he exclaimed. "Say, this is a really good book. I read it last year. Did you borrow it from Mr. Simons?" When the girls nodded, Peter asked, "Anyway, what are you girls working on?" Happy to forget what had just occurred, the girls explained their plans. Peter looked impressed, but he said with a wry grin, "I suppose you're prepared to get a D on this subject? Mr. Connor doesn't take too kindly to anyone opposing evolution." The girls glanced at one another. They hadn't quite planned on a D. "Well," Verity said at last, "other people in the class need to know that there is more evidence for creation than they'll ever find for evolution. This may be their only opportunity to hear some of that evidence." "Good for both of you," Peter nodded. "Well, I've got to go play a basketball game. See you around." On Sunday evening, the day before the presentation, Verity asked at supper if she could practice in front of the family. Mum and Aunt Judy readily agreed. Thomas shrugged. "I guess I might as well hear what lame excuses you have." Verity set up her posters, drew a deep breath, and began. I would like to present this evening the evidence for special creation. By special creation, I mean that God created the world and life on it. What we see today didn't just evolve. Mathematically, several calculations show that life on Earth cannot be more than 7 to 10,000 years old. Take, for example, the population of the Earth. Today, she said, pointing to her chart, families average 3.6 children, and the annual population grows 2%. The population we have today could easily have developed from a single family in just 4,000 years if the growth rate were reduced to only 0.5% per year, that is, an average of only 2.5 children per family. This would be a fourth of the present rate of growth and still easily allows for loss of life due to famines, disease, and wars. So we can see this fits well within the framework of a global flood 4,000 to 5,000 years ago. Mum and Aunt Judy were nodding politely. However, she continued, if we take the evolutionary model, we would have to say that the first people evolved 1 million years ago. At this same small growth rate of 0.5% a year, we would have today this number of people living right now. She pointed to the enormous number at the bottom of her poster. 10 with 2,100 zeros after it. Noting that Thomas was working hard at not being interested, Verity then switched to a picture of the sun. She explained that the sun continuously pours out vast quantities of energy, of which the planet Earth receives only a small part. If the sun were to be slightly hotter or cooler than it is today, life could not exist on Earth. Many scientists believe, she continued, that the sun is shrinking by approximately 0.1% per century. That may not seem like much to worry about now, but if we use that calculation and work backwards, we can see that in only 20 million years, the surface of the sun would have been touching the Earth. Obviously, life couldn't have been evolving on Earth for millions of years because it would have been far too hot. Her presentation ended with two final examples. When the first rocket landed on the moon, there was almost a complete lack of atmospheric dust. This surprised many scientists who had calculated several centimetres or metres of dust based on their premise that the solar system had existed so long. With a bird's-eye view of Niagara Falls, Verity explained how the rate of erosion along the gorge equated to somewhere between 4,000 and 7,000 years of activity. Verity then held up the two books that Mr. Simons had loaned her, Unlocking the Mysteries of Creation by Dennis R. Peterson and In the Minds of Men by Ian Taylor, and recommended them both to her audience. These will be a great help for those of you who wish to know more. Mum and Aunt Judy clapped their hands. Wonderful job. You're a natural presenter, Aunt Judy praised. Thomas simply shrugged and headed off to his room. The presentation the next day went well. Verity did feel a little nervous standing in front of her classmates. She avoided glancing in Shane Black's direction so she wouldn't have to see his sceptical, taunting look. Thankfully, her new friends Emily and Kate seemed quite interested, so she focused in on them. Unfortunately, at the end, when she wanted to advertise the books, she could only hold up one. She had searched the whole house that morning, but the bigger book seemed to have disappeared. Purity had a little trouble getting started, as she wasn't very confident about public speaking. With somewhat faltering speech, she presented evidence to show that one species of animal cannot reproduce with another species. Therefore, animals couldn't have evolved from one kind into another kind. Looking first at a mule, the product of a horse and donkey, two closely related animals within the same species, she pointed out that mules are always infertile. Then she held up a picture of an animal that was a cross between a lion and a tiger. Once again, it was healthy and interesting to look at, but it couldn't produce offspring. These animals, she said, are very close genetically, yet their crossbreeds can't reproduce and continue this line. If a donkey and a horse can't produce fertile offspring, what hope is there for a fish to evolve into a land-dwelling creature and be able to have offspring? If one species really does evolve into another, then why don't we see transitional species today? According to evolution, this process should still be going on and everything should be evolving into something better. Instead, all of nature shows us that animals, plants, and people all reproduce only within their own species. Maple trees produce new maple trees. Monarch butterflies produce monarch butterflies. Apes produce baby apes. Holding up a large poster with the many breeds of dogs represented on it, Purity explained how that selective breeding is able to alter the canine's appearance, height, personality, and colouring, but a dog will always remain a dog. Selective breeding can greatly modify the offspring based on the genetic material already available within the dog family, but it will never produce something genetically new to the species, like horns or wings. Holding up a picture of a finch, Purity carried on. Finches, for instance, can hatch with broad beaks or slim beaks. Depending upon the hardness of the seeds that year, the beak may determine which birds survive best. So yes, within the genetics of a finch lie certain variations for beak development, but a finch will always be a finch. There are no genetics available for it to turn into even another species of bird. Although Purity spoke nervously, in the end, the examples still came out loud and clear in favour of special creation. Mr. Connor grudgingly gave them a B+. For the effort, he said. The substance is rather weak.